It's also going to be up on the wall. But if you look along in the Bible, it's a little bit easier when I'm going to ask for comments later from this section. If anybody has something that they'd like to talk about or discuss, I'll turn the recording off during that time and we can have conversation about some concepts that God is pointing out to us in this proverb. As I'm teaching through the book of James, Proverbs is kind of a sister book. James is considered a wisdom text in the New Testament, and Proverbs is one of the wisdom texts of the Old Testament. King Solomon was writing a wisdom text for his son that he knew was going to become the next king. And if Rehoboam had paid attention to this and been a doer of his father's words, we would have seen a different history for Israel. Like so many of us, Rehoboam didn't necessarily listen and do the word. So in Proverbs 17, you're going to see a lot of short sayings. Some of them are just observations, others are imperatives telling us what to do. Interesting mix here. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and help us to be receptive to what you're trying to teach us through this wisdom. Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the family. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. That's the one, Rosemary. Okay. Children's children are a crown to the aged. Do you know that Reed is one of your crowns?
Well, he's very innocent right now. A few days old.
Eloquent lips are unsuited to a godless fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? A bribe is seen as a charm by the one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. Evildoers foster rebellion against God. The messenger of death will be sent against them. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. Evil will never leave the house of one who pays back evil for good. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Why should fools have money in hand to buy wisdom when they are not able to understand it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One who has no sense shakes hands in pledge and puts up security for a neighbor. Whoever loves a quarrel loves sin. Whoever builds a high gate invites destruction. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. To have a fool for a child brings grief. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. If imposing a fine on the innocent is not good, surely to flog honest officials is not right. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. In the Pew Bibles, James chapter 1, and we're on verse 22 today. That will be on page 1844. Dear Jesus, I am so grateful that when you met your half-brother James you'd gotten off the cross and out of the tomb and you had a conversation with him and you didn't bring judgment, you didn't find fault, but you gave him wisdom and that now he's been able to share some of that with us. We're so grateful that these words, along with Holy Spirit, were written and are alive and are available to us so that our hearts can be changed and we can grow. I pray, Lord, that we truly understand that as you've planted your word in us, we can be saved. And we're grateful for that, Jesus. And I just ask that we can demonstrate that the word has been planted in fertile soil and that our hearts can be tender and ready to produce fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Give us the ability to not quench you, Holy Spirit, to not be in your way, but to allow Father God to shine through us. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, a New International Version, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Some people, when you ask them if they know Jesus, they'll tell you all about their church and they'll tell you about their Bible study and they'll tell you about all the places they go to hear the word. And none of those things are bad things, but don't just be a listener. Because if we're just listening and we think that all of this head knowledge that we're gaining is going to make us spiritual and right with God, we can decipher all of Scripture and we can correct people in their incorrect doctrine and we can come up with all the right answers, but we're not doers of His Word. We're deceiving ourselves, and being self-deceptive is easier than we think. In the New King James Version, some of you still reading that, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In some ways, I like that better than the New International Version as far as the directness from the Greek in this particular case. Do what it says is a strong imperative. And there is an imperative in the Greek, but in the Greek it's more become doers. This should be our identity. Someone looks at you, they're a doer. Become doers. The New American Standard Bible, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. I'm going to get wonky on you for a second. I don't do this very often, but how many of you can see that? It's probably too tiny for some. There's all kinds of resources on the internet that will help you. If you don't know Greek, you don't know Hebrew, you don't know Aramaic, you can still study God's Word in the original languages, and it's very simple to do. This particular page gives you the Strong's number, and if you have a Strong's Concordance, you can look that number up, find out what other ways that word was translated in the Bible. Strong's is pretty tightly connected with the King James Version. So, you know, when you see these numbers, you're going to be able to look it up and see how that was translated in Scripture. And there's other resources as well. This is just one of them. The Greek, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't read Greek. I can look at that and I can recognize that it's Greek, but I don't read it. But I do know the transliteration. You can read these words if you wanted to see what that would sound like if you said it. And this particular chart here, you can find up on the top here, James 1:22. You know, for every single verse in the Bible, there's a chart like this, and there's even others that will help you look at and transliterate. This one is put in the New American Standard Bible order. If you do it in the original Greek order, it changes a little bit, but the gist is still there. But prove. To come into being, to happen, to become. This is prove yourselves, become what? Doers. A maker, a doer. But prove yourselves doers. All of that, but prove yourselves doers, just comes from two Greek words. Of the word. Okay, doers, not just any kind of doer. And we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 7, where people are coming to Jesus and saying, we did this and we did that and we did the other thing. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. So it's not just doers, but it's doers of the word, doers of God's revelation to us. And not merely. And there's no Greek and there's no transliteration and there's a number over here alone. Yeah, sometimes things kind of, in order to make it make sense in English, you have to put some transitional words in there. Okay? So you think about this. Become doers, not just hearers that delude themselves or that miscalculate to reason falsely. And then themselves is pretty simple. So that's just one way. I would recommend that, if you can have some alone time with God, there's resources on the internet that we can look at and we can learn and we can hear. And I love each one of these translations that I just showed you, and others. But looking at them all together sometimes is helpful. We are so blessed to live in this day and age where God's holy word has been translated into so many different translations. And when you look at them together, they don't contradict one another. They work together. You can get a fullness of understanding by looking at more than one sometimes. Do not merely listen to the word. In James 1:19, where we just were previously, be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. We are to be listeners of the word. We're to be quick to listen. But not just that. There's more to it. We can't just listen. Listening is good. It's not something that it says, oh, you don't need to listen, just be a doer. And I think sometimes when people will look at the contrast between faith and works, they push like it's not related. It really is related. If I've got faith, you're going to see my works. Do not merely listen to the word, but do be quick to listen. And in verse 21 of James, just prior to this, humbly accept the word planted in you. We're listening. We're quick to listen. We're accepting the word that God planted in us. Now, if we listen and we accept, there's another part to it. Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Be doers of the word. Prove yourselves doers of the word. Matthew 7. If you want to follow along with that, let me find what page it's on here. Page 1483. Matthew 7. There's a section here about true and false disciples, and Jesus is giving some teaching. And his little brother James doesn't contradict his big brother Jesus. When he teaches us in the book of James, it's going to coincide what Jesus taught as he had his ministry here on earth. This is a troubling passage to me. And I think, if we're honest and we look at this, it's like, wait a minute, some of the things these people are claiming to have done, I haven't even done that. And Jesus didn't accept them. What's going on here? So we need to look closely at this and then the story that Jesus tells, the parable that he gives after this. And Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? These people are pretty proud of all the things that they've done, and they're telling Jesus, you know, we've earned it. We should get in. Didn't we do this? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's not an easy word, is it? So these people are doers. If we're talking about in James, it says, be doers. The of the word part. They're not doers of Jesus, because Jesus is the word. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So if Jesus is the word and he says, I don't know you, then they're not doers of the word, even though they were doing it. They claimed they were doing it in his name. I have met during my short lifetime individuals that have what they call ministries. And I want to be careful here, because some people that I worked with and loved at times would step into this concept of they wanted testimony time. Okay, I love testimony time. I think testifying to what God's done in our lives is a beautiful thing. And there was an incident where a gal came up and she was testifying that God had taken smoking away from her. And she had struggled with that habit for years, and God had removed that from her, and she was so happy about it. And the response from this couple that was ministering said, well, did we pray over you or anything? No. Well, we don't want your testimony then. And they had her sit back. They only wanted testimonies of people that they had cured or they had fixed. And they were doing it in the name of Jesus. And that hurt. And this girl left the church and ran out. And I went out, and two or three other people went with me, and we found her and prayed with her. And tried to bring her back into the fold, but she never came back into relationship with that body. She ended up getting strung out on drugs so badly that you wouldn't have recognized her 6 months later. She lost her children. They were doers, and I can guarantee you, I loved their evangelistic heart when I heard them ministering to people, and I know God used them at times, but we've got to be careful. What are we doing things for? It can't be about us. God, you know where that young woman is and her kids. I just trust that you're going to continue to cover her and surround her. I know that many of her family members are believers, and just ask God that all things will be made right there. Sorry. Didn't intend to bring that up today. It hurts. When we don't use God's word wisely, when we don't correctly divide the word of truth, people are hurt. Maybe some of us have been hurt by individuals that claim to be godly and do things to us instead of for us or with us. Maybe we've been the one that has done that. There's forgiveness. There's hope. And I need to turn the page. The next section that Jesus talks about after he's saying, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You know, that's another name for Jesus. He's a rock. He's our refuge. He's our defender. He's our You know, there's so many different beautiful names for Jesus. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. And I think that as Jesus gives this parable, he's pointing out to the other listeners, as you know, individuals that are saying, you know, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that and the other thing in your name?" They came down with a mighty crash because they're not planted on the rock. They weren't setting a proper foundation. We can do works. We can do things, even if we're saying it's in the name of Jesus. We can do things in our own strength, in our own actions are ours and not His. How many things have happened over the years in the name of Jesus? Spanish Inquisition, Crusades, just to name a couple. Religious wars, Ireland. You know, there's so many different places where we can go in history or in my lifetime. Church planting in this region seems to be, "I don't like you anymore, I'm going to leave, I know God better than you do, and I'm going to go start my own church." Sometimes it's kids rebelling against their parents, and then they go and they start a new work, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's almost like a church plant, but not really, because there's some friction and there's some problems there. And they become what they try to leave. I was raised in the Tacoma area, so you know, you look at all the different churches there and you try to find out the history of how did that church become a church. Well, most of them broke off of another church in that same region. Bible Presbyterians across the alley from First Presbyterian. They used to be together. Temple Baptist and First Baptist used to be together. All of the Protestants broke off from the Catholic Church. Now, there's legitimate reasons to separate fellowship from people. But I don't know that all of the church plants I saw during my lifetime in the Tacoma region had anything to do with doctrine. In fact, many of them had more to do with personalities. Someone got their feelings hurt. They went and found a group of people that would agree with them, and then they started and left and did something else. And God's grieved. Because what's the mark of a Christian supposed to be? They'll know that we're Christians by our love. If we're fighting over who got more on their plate at a dinner at church, And the pastor's daughter got more than my son did, so that's not right. And so then you go and you stir up strife and you find 20 other people that are thinking that the pastor's family's getting favoritism. I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I was. And another church was started. And both of those churches have reached people for Christ. But you know what? It would have been so much better if we can find a way to send people out and say, you know, we're getting too big because too many people are meeting Jesus and we need to kind of find more places to meet because we're running out of room. That's a good way to start a new church. Being right sometimes isn't even the important thing. What was Proverbs 17 talking about? It, you know, sometimes better to just drop the matter before a dispute's broken out. How can we truly be doers of God's word if we don't know God, if we don't know the word, if we don't know Jesus closely? A lot of offenses are covered by love. Love covers a multitude of sins. So there's so many different proverbs that talk about ways that we can be Christ with one another. In Luke, Jesus talking again, he's given a sermon, and some lady shouts out from the audience, "Blessed is the mother who fed you." And he says, "Well, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." This concept of being doers of the word. Yeah, his mother was blessed. Mary is blessed above all other women. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why this woman that shouted this out wasn't necessarily wrong, but it wasn't the right timing or the right place. And the word that Jesus wanted people to have is listen, be quick to listen, and then do. Be a doer. Paul in Romans 2 says, it's not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Now, if we're not careful, all of this could start sounding like salvation by works. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's not what James is saying. It's not what Jesus was saying. Not what Paul is saying. We need our foundation to be the rock. We need to be in the Word, Jesus Christ. Christ in us and us in Him. And that connection, that relationship, that new birth that we have, that's what brings salvation. But if we're in Christ, we're going to be demonstrating Holy Spirit fruit. If we look around a community and the nicest people aren't the ones that are coming to church, they're the ones that claim to be atheists. What does that say about our faith? What does that say about the depth of our love for God? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. That's the last thing I want to do. Then you could go to God and say, "Hey, look, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that in your name." And he's going to say, "I don't know you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be known by Jesus. I want you to be so close with him that you're so interconnected that the things that you do are the things that he would want you to do, that the things that you say are his very words. And I want that for me as well." And if we can't be iron sharpening iron and spurring one another on to love and good deeds, if we can't be the body of Christ demonstrating love to the world by demonstrating love to each other in our families, in a little congregation, and then out in the world. If we're not praying for those that have used us, if we're not praying for those that have hated us. You know, Jesus says anybody can love their friends. Try loving your enemies. And then he showed us how to do it. And he went to the cross, and he could have argued. He could have started a dispute there. Could have called 10,000 angels down and stopped that whole thing, and we would have been going to hell. Because he paid the price for us, we can have relationship with him. Later on in James, there's a section that it's very convicting to me. Anytime I get to this verse, I want to pass it up real quick. Don't want to dwell there. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. We like to think of sin as doing bad things. Well, no, there's another part. You know the good thing you're supposed to do? You didn't do that. That's sin. Another place that says anything that we do that's not in faith is sin. So our text for today. Do not merely listen to the word. Yes, listen to the word. Listen intently, listen quickly, listen often. But don't just listen. Because if we're just listeners, if we're good churchgoers and we're jumping from Bible study to Bible study and we're learning everything we need to learn and we can correct everybody's doctrine, we're not doers. We're deceiving ourselves. We need to do what it says. Father, I turn to you knowing that you are the perfect one. It's your perfection that gives me the opportunity to come to you at all. I thank you that you've taken off my clothing of sorrow, my sinful, dark, nasty rags, and you've clothed me in robes of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, that we can pray in your sweet, holy name. Amen.